Hey everyone, this is The Creative Come Up, where I, your host, Brennan Kalu, interview my creative friends and discuss their come up, culture, and causes. On this episode, I chatted with wedding photographer Reggie Ballesteros. We discuss how he got into wedding photography, how to become your own business, and the role of family in creative careers. Let's get into it. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey Reggie, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just finished the breakfast rush with the kiddos, so now I'm here talking to you.
Nice, I'm sure it's a welcomed escape.
Yeah, but admittedly, I do have my youngest one, just turned 3 months, kind of strapped to me in a baby carrier. So if you guys listening hear any type of like Darth Vader sounding breathing, that's not me, that's my son sleeping next to my chest. But that's my reality as like dad / wedding photographer. So
yeah, I mean, just going based off of that, can you tell us a little bit about what you do, what your focuses are, and what you're into?
Yeah, so I mean, at this point in time, my bread and butter is wedding photography. For the most part, I do portrait work, usually along the lines of like engagement photo sessions, but a lot of my start was in doing family photography in the beginning. But at this point, yeah, I actually recently transitioned. I'm transitioning. Actually, I gave in my 2 weeks notice for my job last week. So before I was a full-time mechanical engineer at a utility company, and now I'm leaving that stability and taking the jump to be a full-time stay-at-home dad, as well as a wedding photographer on the weekend. So,
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. It's a big transition. I mean, I'll be quite honest, it is, for my personality type, it is a little scary because I'm all about stability, predictability, but I'm kind of at a point in my business that if I keep playing it safe, it's going to stunt its growth. So at this point, my wife and I, you know, she's super supportive about me making this change. And plus, you know, we want one parent to stay at home. That's just kind of where our values are at. We don't really want to go to daycare route. So that this is what makes sense. And it feels right. So it's going to be an adventure, and probably a roller coaster, but pretty much 100% in it. So we'll see how that goes.
That's really exciting, man. That's like the goal for a lot of creatives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just to do, you know, dedicate all of your time to your craft. And then also, I mean, what's super important is family as well. So, dude, that's so awesome. You said you mentioned you kind of started doing family portraits and things like that, but what has the journey been like, just as a photographer in general, and then ultimately into wedding photography?
So I picked up my very, very first camera. It's cheesy because I find it is a cheesy story as a wedding photographer to have this reason, but it started out because of the girl. So when my wife and I were still dating, we were dating in high school, we were about to go separate ways for college. She was going to be in the Bay Area, I was going to be down south in San Diego. I picked up a little point and shoot camera just to document that first summer that we had together, you know, just for sentimental reasons. And it kind of picked up from there because our first summer back in our hometown in Vallejo, we took a film photography class at Solano Community College. And, you know, after we first like developed our first roll of film and printed some photos, like we both were smitten by like the photography process. And, you know, that the craft in itself is just super amazing to both of us. She is still pretty much like prefers film, so she's a purist, so she didn't really jump into the digital realm as much as I did. But I'm an engineer by education, and I also really, really love technology. So it made sense that I went into the digital realm of photography. And then when I went back to school in San Diego, the skateboard culture, longboarding culture was really big there. So I was into skateboarding and longboarding at the time, but I wasn't as good as my friends. So because I had a digital camera, I would just take photos of them. And it actually caught on quite a bit that I was photographing some local longboarding events for skate shops at that point. And that's where kind of like I had my first taste of like, hey, I can actually do something with this that people appreciate and recognize. And then when I moved back to Vallejo and I was fun employed, I actually started a 365 project. And a lot of the photos in that were actually of like Lego minifigures. And the series, it was started out just a fun experimental series just because I like Lego minifigures. And it actually got caught on by quite a few photography and design blogs, one of them being like Design Taxi, which is a pretty big design blog of this, you know, this the life of like Lego minifigure. I forgot what they titled it as, but that was my initial claim to fame, was that. And because I was going to be featured on a blog, I kind of like within like one night uprooted like a website to kind of show myself, like to not be an embarrassment, to have like a, you know, a place for my work to live. And from there, I kind of picked up, you know, a few family sessions here and there. So that's kind of where I started, just, you know, taking photos for family. And then eventually it started to become paid work. But it really wasn't until I got my first job, and then, you know, following kind of like the Filipino tradition, you have to have a job to propose to your girlfriend and all that kind of stuff. So I got my job. I asked permission from her parents, and we got engaged. And when we started doing the wedding planning, and we met up with our engagement, our wedding photographer, sorry, and we worked with him, I was like absolutely in love with the entire process, inspired by his work. That eventually, after we got married, I second shot for him for a little bit, and I second shot for a couple other photographers, just to kind of go through the roots through more of like apprenticeship versus just learning on my own, just because, you know, weddings for me are like a big responsibility to do. Like, yeah, everybody can be a photographer, but I think you owe it to yourself and to the clients that you have to make sure you know how to do everything properly before just jumping in and say, hey, raising your hand, like, hey, I can shoot your wedding. Because I actually booked a wedding, I think it was in 2014, like November of 2014. And I booked it around like August or so. So between August and November of that next year, I second shot like 11 or 12 weddings, because I wanted to really be sure that I was ready before trying to shoot someone else's wedding on my own. So that was kind of how I kind of got into it. And then moving on from there, over it was basically from 2014 until now, I was just shooting weddings at kind of like half-time, full-time basis, just trying to get as much work as I can while still being present to my family and not being away too much. So the at this point, my seasons are about like 15-ish weddings each year, which is a little bit, considered in the Bay Area, kind of like half-time, but I'm transitioning to go full-time, which is like 25 to 30 weddings. It's really just kind of a day job and having to wake up and have time to edit that I really couldn't manage everything. Plus adding two kids under two in the mix is, and trying to be married, like it's a big time management thing. So I kind of, one of them had to go, and at this point it was kind of my day job was the one thing that just didn't quite make sense into my life at this point. So
yeah, that's so awesome though. I mean, now you'll be able to do, you know, exactly like what I was mentioning earlier, being full time, taking care of the family, and doing what you're passionate about. I'm really curious about the process that you had to go through to get those second shot roles, those like apprenticeship type roles. Like, yeah, you worked with your wedding photographer, but what else what was that process like for reaching out to other people or collaborating with other photographers?
So I think the big thing for me was I went on this, it was back then, it was more about forums rather than Facebook groups back then. So this was like 2013, 2014. And I basically found my first gig on Craigslist as a second shooter. And after I made that first gig, it was kind of risky because the guy was coming from New York, and in retrospect, I didn't really think he knew what he was doing either, but you know, but that's beside the point. But so after I shot that first second shot, that first wedding, I had a little bit of body of work to show on another wedding photography forum that I was part of. So I showed my work on there, and it actually got ripped to shreds. Like, everybody hated my editing because it was too like Instagrammy and all that stuff. But there was a couple of photographers that kind of gave me a chance, and they said, hey, like, you know, if you want a third shoot for me or assist for me, then that would be fine. And that was kind of the route that I took first, because, and I actually agree with that a lot. Like, for my business and many other photographers' business, a second shooter should be someone that can take over the wedding if the primary photographer for summer goes down, or they need to really lean on them heavily. And somebody that's inexperienced cannot do that. So, because I know I see a lot of people on Facebook, or they'll message me, they're like, hey, I can second shoot for you, but I'm just starting. When you just say you're just starting, you don't want to shoot your weddings on your own, I would say no, it's a non-starter for me. So what I was doing is originally with the original photographer that I work heavily on it wasn't the one that shot my wedding, it was another guy. He literally hired me to carry his camera bag and his light stand bag, and whenever he needed a lens change, I needed to be ready. As long as I was always ready whenever he needed to be ready, he allowed me to take one camera and one lens, and I could shoot whatever I want. I could use it on my portfolio. The only thing he said is I can't use any pose portraits because that was his kind of, you know, his creative posing. Just because I took the shot doesn't mean it's mine. Like, he did the lighting, the creative posing and all that stuff, which is fair. So I was able to take, you know, real world portfolio work in a real world situation for a wedding. And that is of, like, I think the utmost importance in getting yourself ready to be a wedding photographer is to be able to photograph in those high pressure situations. Cause there's a lot of things that, like, go through your head that you have to think about that only with practice, it becomes second nature. It's just like breathing or just like tying your shoe, you know, like I'm managing, you know, manual exposure settings, posing, lighting, you know, logistics, off-camera lighting, all at the same time without having to really think. Like, you have like a split second to make these decisions or else a bride's going to be mad or you're going to be late for your timeline. So there's a lot more than, I know a lot of people say, oh, everybody's a wedding photographer, but I disagree because, yeah, everybody can own a camera and say they do weddings, but in order to be a professional wedding photographer, I think there's a very specific skill set and experience level that you have to be able to have a successful business and carry on with that. I like to say that I'm there. Sometimes I have this, you know, a lot of creatives are like, they don't believe in their stuff. I'm not a real, you know, whatever, designer, artist, photographer. But at this point, I've got to that comfort level that I can say, like, yeah, I know I'm, you know, a professional at wedding photography. So I'm confident enough that I can do some pushback on clients if it's not going to be the right decision, or at least warn them, because it's, I guess, the one interesting thing about weddings is that the client is somebody who's having a day that's like momentous in their life that they want some ownership on. And if you, depending on the bride, if you have some pushback that's against what they want to do, you have to kind of manage that in a way, or like warn them or something, and have some type of, you know, like, not bedside manner, just like, you know, like, client, you have to have some, like, put a smile on your face, and if it's not the right thing to do, you still have to just go along with it, kind of thing. It's, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, I want to take a picture with this thing, but the lighting is total crap. Like, you still got to do it. And then in my experience, you just do that. You go through the motions. And then if you have time, do the one that I want to do, because I know the lighting is going to be more flattering or something like that. That's just like one small example. But yeah, it's, as far as like my suggestion is to look on either Facebook or any type of social network, or, you know, a professional networking group that you're familiar with, and find some photographers that you're really, you know, inspired by that are in your area, and offer to third shoot for them or assist them or just see what they're open to. Don't just jump right in and say, hey, I want a second shoot for you for money, because, you know, you don't, they have no, they're going to take you on to represent their business. And that's a big risk with wedding clients. So you really want to give it kind of like their rules and follow their rules. And then, one other tip is, do not use their inquiry form. A lot of people are going to say, like, yeah, they have like an inquiry form on the website to, like, especially, this is specifically for wedding photography, but like if they have one that's like, hey, when you're getting married, or you're getting married, that kind of thing, don't use that as a way to reach out to a photographer to say, hey, I want to help you or work with you, because just do it. Just find their email directly and form a professional email that way. Because I've had some people do that, and there's nothing more that can rub you the wrong way is that you're not respecting that's their lead pipeline, and you're trying to, like, you know, propose to help them out. So, yeah, that's really the way that I did it. There's plenty of photographers that have been successful by taking on clients without having any prior wedding experience, and, you know, all the power to them. But this, for me, I'm a very calculated person. I like to, you know, make sure I prepare properly for every single thing that I do. So that's the approach that I took. And for me, it really built a great foundation for my work. And it's, I want to say that for my age level, especially in the San Francisco Bay Area, I was able to kind of build up experience in a portfolio and set myself apart a little bit quicker, because I'm a lot younger than my peers that have the same type of style and quality. The real struggle at this point is finding a client base that will pay the rate that I want, just because most people's client base is always going to be centered around the age group of their friends. And my friends are not specifically at the level of that my typical, my price range would be. Like, my price range is more like geared to like doctors and lawyers and things like that. And, you know, if somebody that graduated my class is just now getting probably a high level degree like that, or they'd really have to be prioritizing the craft and the art of photography. as a value part of their wedding day, just because through Instagram, everyone has a camera. The amount of work that goes into making a photo is kind of lost to the common person. They don't really know. And they're just like, hey, a camera costs this much. Why is wedding photography cost this much? And it's solely because you're not only just a photographer and editor, but you're a business person. You do all your IT work on your computer. You have to maintain your gear. You have to advertise, and you have to try, especially in the Bay Area where it's very saturated, like you got to do things that set yourself apart. And it's a pretty, I would say it's one of the more competitive markets in the United States, just because it's a high cost of living. So, you know, a lot of people like, hey, why do you charge that much? I want to tell them, hey, if you write it down, how many weddings you want to work in a year and multiply that by how many, you know, like that's the salary that I'm going to take home. Like if you want to pay $2,000 and you want me to shoot, you know, you don't want me to kill myself, so I'll shoot 25 weddings, 2000 times like 25 is $50,000 to live in the Bay Area minus all my expenses, minus taxes. Like that kind of gives you the idea of like, you know, if somebody's charging like $2,000 for a wedding, they probably have something else to lean on to live in the Bay Area. Because to live in the Bay Area, it's a lot of money. Like, yeah. And to mention that I also support a family and, you know, all that stuff. And you want to actually have some type of quality of life. It's, you kind of have to like figure that out. So at this point, now that I'm moving full time, I'm also researching and experimenting with other revenue streams that I'll talk about later. Because you do kind of go into like what my causes are. So that would be better suited for that portion of like the podcast. But yeah, so it's getting to a point where to be a wedding photographer, especially with our particular age group and generation, that I have to kind of diversify like how I'm going to make money with my business more than just weddings because of the way that the market is trending, I guess.
Yeah, no, totally. And taking that risk as like a freelancer or a consultant or becoming your own business is like one of the more like daunting things to do as a creative.
Exactly. Yeah. It's usually better to do that. You know, you're single, maybe you're living at home, or, you know, it's like, I'm kind of taking it at a very interesting point in my life, but my wife and I have been dealt some cards that we, you know, this opportunity and this decision makes a lot of sense for us to kind of take that step. So we're both doing some transitions on our end. She got a new job, so we're shifting things around and our responsibilities around to hopefully make it work, because it's ultimately both what we love to do and what our personalities fit. She loves to, you know, work in the professional setting, and I really don't. Like I like to be with my family and focus on what I'm passionate about, versus, you know, I was good at engineering. Like I wasn't a bad engineer and it paid the bills, but, you know, to stay 9 hours away from my kids and to come home, and once they start talking and remembering stuff, if they ask me like, what'd you do? Like, I didn't want to be that dad that was just like, I was just at work, you know. Like I want to be, whenever I leave the house, I want to be able to tell them a story that I was happy and, you know, being fulfilled doing what I'm doing. I know that's a dream for some people, especially coming from the immigrant background where you're supposed to put your head down and just work. It's kind of a new mentality to be able to like what you do and be passionate about what you do. But I feel like if I can have both, then I should strive for both. So that's kind of where I'm trying to aim to at this point.
Yeah. And kind of to transition, I'm curious to hear about how, you know, being Filipino American and taking this huge risk, taking this big jump into this new part of your life, essentially, and your family's life. How has it been received? How does it feel initially, or like what has been the response to that?
I mean, it's not as bad as I had thought. We were thinking about it for a long time. And I think because it's kind of interesting because I'm the male figure, I don't think it's not as hard on me. I mean, like, cause the one thing is like, a husband or dad staying home is like, oh, everybody applauds it. But you know, there's kind of like this unfair dynamic in the current space for, you know, Asian Americans, that if a woman chooses to go to work and not stay with the kids, there's something wrong with that. And I think that's unfair, because, you know, every individual is entitled to do what they like to do for their career and what's good for their personal life. And their home life, that's up to them, regardless of their gender or sex. So that's kind of something that me and my wife are just kind of like always like bothered by, because it's just like, if I tell them, they're like, oh, yay. And then, you know, at least he has a business and, you know, it'll be nice, he can stay home. But if my wife were to say the same thing, she was going to stay home, everyone would say, okay, that's the status quo. Like, and yeah. I kind of, it bothers us that that is the status quo, because it's, you know, it's at this point we're in a new age where it's not really dependent on your gender, your sex, to, you know what I mean, like to say who's making money and who has to stay home more. Because when she was searching for a new job, a lot of people would ask like, hey, is it going to be flexible? It's like, why does it need to be flexible? Because I'm going to be home, you know what I mean? I dad am going to be home, so you know, I'm doing this because my wife likes to, even she likes to travel for work sometimes because it's fun. So that's something, you know, I'm in total game for and willing to stay with the kids overnight if I have to, you know, to do that. But I guess the cool thing is, because I will be detached from my desk, as long as I don't have a wedding, like I can actually go with her and bring the kids along and stay in a hotel or something. So hopefully that would be a cool part too. But yeah, that's it. As far as like, I did have a lot of anxiety before telling relatives and even my parents. I told my parents, probably like one of the last people that I told my brother, but not my parents, just because, not really because I knew they were going to be supportive, but for some reason I just didn't. I don't know. I grew up, both my parents worked, my mom worked in the like science, like medical industry. She was like a lab technician, and then my dad was a civil engineer. So you know, I grew up under the expectation that you had to get a 4-year degree, buy a house, or no, get married, buy a house, and then have a kid. You know, like there's an order to everything. I followed it halfway through, and then I got married, and then we live in an apartment, then we had kids, and we kind of like fell off that, you know, Filipino American track, you know, if you will. Like, the, obviously, if you're someone that's doing that, that's fine, but I don't think it's a set thing anymore, especially with the current economic, you know, world and college and debt and all that stuff. Like, it's an unrealistic expectation to put on a kid anymore, or a young adult to kind of like follow this trend before they start a family, as like having a house. Like, it's crazy to buy a house. Like, I don't even want to think about buying a house, but so you know, also obviously making this shift to like, I think to do photography also is, I think it's also kind of going off that track. So I had some anxiety around that. My company has a lot of great benefits and I'm leaving that. So kind of feel some like, not guilt, but like judgment around like, why would I leave that? Cause that's for my family. But, it's something that, you know, ultimately we just kind of have to listen to what people have to say, but they don't really dictate what we do, or we're not going to change what we're doing because of their reaction. So it's something that, you know, as both my wife and I got older, we realized that we didn't fit that typical Filipino immigrant parent mold that they push on kids. Cause you know, you and I both grew up in the same town. So it's the expectations are going to be very similar. We're both Filipino. We both went to the same high school that had primarily dominantly Filipino, you know, students. So going to a 4-year degree and getting something within the traditional realm of like nursing, engineering, you know, like that's what everybody did. So I actually found a stable engineering job, and to kind of leave that, is it's exciting for me. I do feel like I do have a type of rebellious personality in terms of just growing up. Like soon as I became adult, I did have tendencies to do things that were like, I was kind of like excited to do things that were different than what was expected of me. So I think this kind of plays into it a little bit, but it's within the realm of being responsible. I'm a father and I'm a husband, so I'm not doing anything crazy, but it is, I do take some pride in doing something different than most people would do. So if I can make it work, and I can take some calculated risks, this is definitely where I'm excited to move on to this next stage of my life, I guess, and my career.
Totally. And have you, like, as a Filipino American person, Asian American person, has that worked to or against your advantage when you're trying to find clients? Have people been more specific about like what they need, or in terms of like relatability or like your eye and things like that? Is there anything that resonates there?
To be honest, I don't really know, but I mean, just as a candid observation, one of my other good friends is in the same boat, at least prior to me quitting my job. He has a day job and he's working as a full-time wedding photographer. He actually has more business than I do. And a lot of his clients are also Asian or Filipino, and so are mine. And there's something we notice is that we tend to attract clients that are Asian or Filipino. I'm not sure if that's because of what we look like or it's because of what our portfolio started as, because, you know, usually hire clients or book clients that you know first, and then it kind of branches off. And there's the thing in photography is like, you show what you want to shoot. So if all we can show is these past clients that are Filipino or Asian, then that's probably what we're going to attract. But I don't know if that's an exact like science or whatever, or trend, because I do have like Caucasian or, you know, Hispanic clients as well, but it's definitely on the lower percentage of my client base. So I don't really know. As far as like, there are other professional wedding photographers in my network and just outside of my network that exist, and I know of them. Like, so Filipino photographers exist. One weird thing that is funny though is like, you know, I personally don't think, reading through kind of the notes that you sent me beforehand, like if it affects my craft like in a positive way, I actually don't think it has any type of impact, just because of my personality. I don't really, other than being Filipino, like that's where I came from and some of my values, I don't think it's something I use to set me apart as far as like being Filipino specifically. If I had to take some thought about how my Filipino culture influences my work, I would say it's having the core inspiration and value of my business being around family. Because I'm a family person, that's a big thing that I really strive for in my work, is to document the connections between families. And wedding photography in general is, I personally think it's exciting because it's a family event. You have one family and another family coming together to witness and celebrate the very first day of this couple's, you know, new official family. So that's kind of where I center my approach to wedding photography. And family, of course, is you know, a big part of being Asian American and Filipino American. It's always rooted in the importance of family. So I think that itself lends into it. I don't have any other ethnical things that kind of like lead into my work other than just being family centric. I guess one other odd observation is, in the beginning I did have a big percentage of Catholic wedding clients. Like, you know, they would have like Catholic ceremonies. So I don't know if that's because I'm Filipino and they thought I'd be familiar with it or what, but in the beginning it seemed that, I think my first three weddings are all Catholic wedding ceremonies, so I'm not sure if that was by chance or what, but
yeah. Maybe there's a correlation because we also went to Catholic school.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know, but who knows?
Cool. Yeah. So like, let's just kind of jump into the next topic of like, anything that you're working on, or, if you're, you know, like what's important to you right now? Like, what are your causes and how are you using wedding photography to achieve like some greater good or something greater than yourself?
Yeah. So at this point, I feel like I've come to a point in my photography, you know, just as a hobby and as a career and a passion, that I've accumulated a lot of knowledge from the help of other photographers who kind of fostered my growth. And they, you know, they pretty much took me under their wing to teach me the business, teach me the techniques and all that stuff. But as having a family, I don't really have the opportunity to personally mentor people in the field as I would like to. So one thing that I've actually kind of started up is a YouTube channel to really help other new photographers learn photography and wedding photography. It's actually caught on like a little bit. I have a modest audience right now, like 2,700 or so subscribers, and it's growing. I started it in the beginning of this year, and there's a lot of people like who ask me for advice or want me to critique their photos. So it's kind of a crazy experience that these people actually respect what I think and all this stuff. But it's given me a way to kind of like give back, and I share a lot of information. I don't believe in keeping secrets. A lot of photographers are like, oh, I don't want to give away that secret because it's going to take away clients from my business. But you know, I totally feel that my clients are going to be my clients regardless of if somebody can have the same camera, the same editing style and everything. Like, my work is always going to be unique to my eye and how I think. So there's no harm or foul in sharing how I edit, sharing a behind the scenes of my photo shoot, or sharing like certain techniques or certain opinions that I have about either gear or anything like that. So that's been my kind of like my pet project at this point, is creating this YouTube channel. Obviously, I would say it is another way for me to kind of diversify the income for my business and just to have some income for my family, because there's like, you know, there's like ad revenue and you can work with other brands and stuff like that. But the main reason that I'm starting this and the main reason that I'm passionate about this YouTube channel is because I can give back the knowledge that I've learned, that not you, that you can't, that's, I'm trying to fill a void in the YouTube like information sphere that isn't there, with what I can bring there. And some of it is through just being honest, because a lot of YouTube is about gear centric, like, oh yeah, you should buy this. But you know, a lot of people are forgetting that photography is not just about the gear. You can create great photography with an iPhone. You just have to train your eye and the way that you think in order to create these photos. So I do have a lot of videos that are centric around a specific camera brand and model, but that's just more to gain an audience, because I have a niche. I have like a niche subject matter in the beginning, because you can't grow from zero to 2,000 without having a specialty. So that's my specialty right now, is because I use for wedding photography, I use a camera that not many people use. It's going to be like less than 10% of the wedding photography world uses Fujifilm cameras. But for me, I've used it to kind of set myself apart and to kind of grow an audience and to be able to reach these people who are starting photography, or just, you know, went over to this camera to try to help them. You know, there's a lot of transition struggles that I had just switching over from a different camera system, but also just things that I've learned in over time that are kind of transcend any specific camera brand or gear or anything. There's a lot of fundamental photography things that I've learned about, you know, for the technical aspects of photography, or just, you know, business or just client management approach and all that stuff, that I'm hoping to share on this channel, just to help people either make money with their work or to just, you know, just further their passion. So that's really, I'm not really like donating to anything, like super social justice or something like that. But I feel like, you know, for photography, you can always, you know, if I can connect with somebody the way that I teach and the way that I share honest feedback and all that stuff, then I'd love to be able to help that person out. So
that's awesome. And as we start to wrap up here a little bit, like if somebody wanted to get into wedding photography, what are like some table stakes things or early things, you know, like early on in their careers that they can do to be successful?
Ultimately, I think it really doesn't matter what kind of camera you have. I mean, yes, there is some like minimal gear that you need, but I think whatever stuff you're shooting with, ultimately you want to know how to use and take photos. Like I personally think in like full manual, you need to know how to use your camera inside and out. And you know, you need to have a good grasp about processing raw photos, not like JPEGs, like raw photos that you can kind of play with in post-production. Really take the time to practice those things. Shoot every single day, edit a photo every single day, just so you can play with what goes right, what goes wrong. You know, yeah, you can look at other photographers for inspiration, but I think the biggest thing you can do to improve is to practice, because a lot of people kind of get consumed like, what Instagrammer should I follow, what YouTuber should I follow. You can't get any better than just actually doing it out yourself. Like, you know, before the internet, people just shot, you know, like they just took photos, and that's the best way to do it. And then on top of that, just find someone that you can, if you can, find someone that you can second shoot under, or, you know, like I said before, just assist, like come around. Like sometimes you can just come along and just shadow them. Like being in a wedding environment, if you want to do specifically wedding photography, is going to be, being at a wedding is going to be the best thing. Like if you're a guest at a wedding, I would urge you not to shoot photos, because you're probably going to get in the way of the wedding photographer. So do it in a way that you're coming along for some, you know, with the permission of another photographer to either shadow them or help them out. And just, it comes with the experience. So do that, you know, more than just once, like 5 times, 10 times, I don't know, however many times you need to do it until you'll feel comfortable, so that you're familiar with both how to use your camera, how to shoot photos, and how to operate all those things under the high pressure situation of a wedding, before you start taking on your own clients. And other than that, it's just, I really think it's just tell everybody what you do. Like you're going to get some opportunities to shoot things for family and stuff like that. Just take them. at some point, like, do say no, because you're going to just be the free person all the time. But, you know, in the beginning, you just, and even now, like, just telling people what I do is probably the best way that I get business. Like, yeah, there are places like The Knot or Instagram or Facebook that you could advertise on, but the most quality clients and the clients that end up referring me in the future are people that just, that I just somehow came into contact with or came into someone that knows me, because I told them that I do photography and I shoot weddings. So always just be open about what you're doing, what you're passionate about, and hopefully your enthusiasm, the quality of your work is going to catch on, as long as you kind of like work hard to practice, you know, both using your camera and editing and sharing your work. Yeah, and that's the other thing, share your work. Instagram, a website, anything, just put it out there, because the sooner you put it out there, the better. You don't want to just kind of like contemplate if you should do it or not. Like, done is better than perfect at this point, so just keep putting out the content. You can always weed it out later as you get better, as your eye refines, but you want to start showing the world now what you do, getting feedback from other photographers about, you know, what you're putting out there. So yeah,
awesome, man. And Reggie, if people wanted to reach out to you or find you in the, you know, the wider internet, the wilds, where can we find you?
The thing that I use most regularly is Instagram. So Instagram at @ReggieBPhoto. And then I also have a website, ReggieBPhotography.com. And if you're on the YouTube world, it's youtube.com/ReggieBallesteros. So you can find me on there as well if you want to check out some of the videos. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. And thank you so much for coming on, Reggie. And your story is really interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing where you take your business.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. Thanks, Brennan.
That's it for this episode of The Creative Come Up. Be sure to show us some love by following @creative_comeup on Instagram and Twitter. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, let us know what you think of this episode by leaving a review. Thanks for tuning in, and catch y'all next time.